You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Andrew Garcia, in for Vicky Gonzalez. It's Pride Month, a time for parades and parties to celebrate the LGBTQ community. Along with the celebrations, though, is the history of Pride Month, which dates back to the Stonewall Riots of the 1960s, spontaneous demonstrations against a police raid of the Stonewall Inn in New York, which many credit as the beginning of the gay rights movement in the U.S. This year, Pride festivities continue, but more and more Pride Festival organizers are reporting a loss of corporate sponsorships, with some of them pointing to a shift in the political climate under President Trump's second administration. We wanted to talk about the celebrations and the challenges of this year's Pride Month with LGBTQ centers across Northern California. David Heitz-Duman is the CEO of the Sacramento LGBT Community Center. Cindy Baudouin is the CFO of the Placer LGBT Center. And John Alita is the executive director of the San Joaquin Pride Center. Welcome to the three of you. Before we get into the Pride Month conversation, I'd love to learn more about each of your centers and the communities that you serve. David, the Sacramento LGBT Community Center dates back to 1978, 9 years after the Stonewall riots that I was mentioning. Can you tell us more about the history of the center and the role it plays these days in supporting the community?
Sure, that's right. The organization has been around for quite a long time. And our mission is to create a region where all LGBTQ people can thrive by supporting health and wellness, advocating for equity and justice, and working to uplift a diverse and culturally rich LGBTQ community. And what that looks like for our organization is we provide housing for LGBTQ youth experiencing homelessness. We have a drop-in center for youth, a lot of youth enrichment activities, sexual health programs, mental health programs, including respite and counseling and support groups, community resource navigation, employment services, some policy advocacy work that we do is particularly important right now at the local level, as well as the statewide and national level. We provide training for employers on LGBTQ cultural humility and equity and inclusion. And then we produce events like Sacramento Pride and our Chosen Family Feast and Q Prom that are all really driven to help find a place for people where they feel like they belong, whether they can find a social connection, even if they don't need social services. So the organization is really a comprehensive service provider trying to care for the whole person and everyone in our community.
When did you first get started with the center?
I first came to the center about 15 years ago as a volunteer on the board and was asked to step in as CEO just under 10 years ago.
Wow. Well, John, what about the San Joaquin Pride Center? When did you all first get started?
The San Joaquin Pride Center was founded in 2011, particularly because of the marriage equality issue that we were dealing with through those times. And we've been around so for about 14 years. And we serve the communities of San Joaquin County. So it's about 800,000 people, Stockton being the largest city in the area. And we provide behavioral health services such as mental health counseling and substance use disorder recovery services. We have a very large youth component. We work with youth in our local schools. We put out a quarterly zine for youth that is created by, designed by, and put out by youth. And we also have an advocacy program as well, where we teach young people how to advocate on issues that are important to them. We also work closely with families in the area who may be going through some challenges because they have a child in the school who is being bullied. And oftentimes in our area, there are schools that are not knowledgeable or do not really help the problem. They tend to exacerbate the problem. So we advocate with families to the schools to make sure that those policies are in place and that our young people, especially our LGBTQ young people, are not kind of treated differently than their peers. And we also, like David, we put on our own Pride. We offer our Pride Fest in October because Sacramento and San Francisco are usually pretty popular with our community, so we don't want to compete. And then every year, at the beginning of June, we hold our annual fundraiser called the Pride Honors, where we recognize people within the community who have been kind of particularly supportive of the LGBTQ community here, and we kind of recognize their efforts.
That's great. Cindy, the Placer Center has roots as far back as 2014 in the community, but it's gone through some transformations over that time. Recently, though, you've been going under the name of the Placer LGBTQ Plus Center, and the doors of your new physical space opened earlier this year in January. How has it been going so far?
So far, we're doing really good. We are really new. We've learned a lot from Sacramento Pride and Sacramento LGBTQ Center. We work closely with them. They've helped us a lot, and we're opening up for just a few things right now because we don't have any paid staff, but we've gotten a grant recently from Placer Community Foundation, and they're going to help us hire our first employee. And we have a social group going once a month. We have a peer support group going once a month. We have crafting, and we have the Health Education Council coming in and running some programs there. So we're hoping to keep building. It took us a long time to get the space we needed, but we're going to keep working really hard.
Well, diving into Pride Month now, Cindy, this is the first Pride Month that you all have since the doors have been opened of the physical space. You've had other ones before. Five other ones. Nice. Okay, so how has this year felt, given the political climate, but also the want to celebrate? What has this year been like?
This year has been great. We had double the amount of volunteers for our committees for our Pride event. We upped our sponsorship money by 46%.
Wow.
We had 106 vendor booths, which I was shooting for 100, and last year we had 88. So we've grown every year. And other than the people that we don't want there, it was a great experience as usual. And people in the community really, really enjoy it because it's a more family-oriented in a park event.
Yeah. And yeah. Showing up during this time for the community.
Yes.
John, what about the San Joaquin Pride festivities? Have you had to do anything differently from years past?
Well, since our Pride Fest isn't coming up until October, mm-hmm. we moved our venue to be closer to our waterfront. We have been on a street fair kind of model for the last few years. I would say this month during our Pride Honors, we have a family-friendly drag show at our local children's park called Pixie Woods. Mm. We've actually been very fortunate here in that we have, while we do, like any community, get kind of the people who are very negative and express a lot of hate and bigotry towards us. In general, there's a good amount of support here. What we do have to be mindful of, though, is it's always important to be careful and to kind of make sure there's kind of safety for folks, because, you know, we are in California, which is great, but being in the Central Valley with, in a more conservative area, we can tend to attract some more negative attention at times. But I'm happy to say so far this month, it's been going very well. I mean, there's a lot on people's minds, and we do kind of see that in an uptick in our mental health services because a lot of folks are dealing with daily stressors plus, you know, what's going on in the world. But by and large, we've been able to maintain our regular kind of Pride festivities. And we don't get a lot of corporate sponsorships here, so we get a lot of local support. We have not yet seen that drop off, so I'm hopeful that we'll continue to see the same level of support.
How have you and some of your staff been looking to approach some of those of the more difficult conversations that you might have been having, like those stressors, like you've been mentioning?
Well, in the last year, we moved to a new location, which is much larger and affords us some private clinician spaces. So, but we also have a twice a month community support, mental health support group. But we as a staff, when we're talking about programming, we try to remember that we're the people that have to kind of keep the faith and keep their spirits up in the community as well as our own. So we also take a lot of time to talk about self-care, because in a business where you're working with a lot of community who are struggling, the staff need to take care of themselves as well. And so I think what we tend to do is kind of remember each other is not everybody can be the light on every day of the week. So we check each other's kind of internal batteries to make sure that we see who's got the capacity for some difficulty at times.
Taking turns, yeah. David, what about in Sacramento?
Yeah, we have lots of things going on for the rest of the month. We still have some movie nights and youth activities that are happening. A Rainbow Cafe on June 24th and a movie night on the 30th. We had our big Pride celebration last weekend at the festival in March. But there are so many Pride events going on all over Sacramento this month.
As John was just mentioning, you know, Northern California is such a big place, and California itself, for the folks who live here and grown up here, California is often seen as blue politically, but there's lots of communities across the political spectrum. Sacramento is also one of those places that is also seen as, you know, reliably more blue or democratic or progressive. Has the Sacramento area and the Pride festivities this month specifically seen any challenges pop up in this political climate?
There are certainly lots of challenges in this political climate. We are seeing a lot more folks who feel unsafe in the community. And while the central city in Sacramento and the central part of Sacramento County might be very blue and more progressive, the outer areas around our region are not so much. And we hear lots of concerns about hate and bias-related incidents, discrimination, and harassment. And we've certainly seen the impact of the administration's policies on the center, as we are losing a significant amount of funding. We lost about $2 million in the last year that helps support programs and services that serve those community members who are in most need.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking about Pride Month with David Heitz-Stueman, CEO of the Sacramento LGBT Community Center, Cindy Beaudoin, the CFO for the Placer LGBT Center, and John Alita, Executive Director of the San Joaquin Pride Center. As I mentioned earlier in the conversation, Pride parades and Pride Month owes its history to political defiance and protests like the Stonewall riots. Does that history at all inform, you think, how the modern-day LGBTQ community can understand today's political climate? David?
Certainly. I mean, I think a lot of the things that we were have been fighting for decades, we have some legal protections here in California, but the experience of people living and going to school and going to work and showing up in healthcare environments can be very different. And that their personal experience might not align with what's legally required or what they're being protected from. So one of the things we do at the center is actually LGBT cultural humility training for employers and healthcare institutions and educators, or even just like an independent therapist or someone in the community who's a small business owner and wants to make their employees feel more welcome and supported in the workplace. And so individuals can sign up for individual training, which is just like an LGBTQ 101 foundational training. We have our next one on June 30th, but we also go out and produce custom trainings for different employers and organizations, because we know that folks are safe when they come inside of our doors, but we want them to be safe, welcome, and affirmed everywhere they go in the region.
John, what about you? Some of the history informing how the LGBT community can look to exist in today's world.
Oh, I think we're taking a lot of lessons from our forebears. As those of us very familiar with that history know, Stonewall was actually really mostly supported by transgender people of color who were on the front lines, who were throwing those bricks. And I think in today's world, we see our transgender community being really vilified, even more than the, you know, lesbian and gay and bisexual community. There's a lot of really negative press around that. And I think we're just taking a lesson from the strength of those people. And we make sure as a center that we uplift that community more in some cases than we might others, because they are the ones that are receiving the brunt of all this negativity. So we definitely have, I think most of us who are in this work, we definitely have that kind of activist streak in us, where we're pretty tough and we're not going to take any BS from people. And so we have a lot of people in our history, like Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera, who really showed us, like, how do you stand up to bullies? So yeah, we definitely keep an eye on those lessons, and we try to teach it to our younger gays and LGBTs, because they're not always getting that history. So sometimes it's now that I'm reluctantly have to call myself an LGBT elder, I see how important it is that our young people know what our, you know, community went through back in the early days.
Cindy, we've been having, you know, a big conversation at times, a heavy one, but Pride Month is also a celebration. But it's also 1 month in the year. You know, the LGBTQ community is here year round. How are you in Placer looking to take the community spirit of Pride with you all throughout the entirety of the year?
Well, we do, like last night, it's in June, but we had it earlier in this year. We had the No Hate people come and do a photo shoot at our center, which was really wonderful. Lots of people came. We're just definitely like helping the trans community. We have quite a large contingency of trans people that come to our center. We just recently sponsored a art show in Lincoln, with a trans girl. And it's just, we're just trying to do unusual things that bring our community a little bit more together.
The community spirit.
Yes,
and
community spirit.
That together,
right.
And keeping that, burning through the entirety of the year.
Right.
I want to thank the three of you for joining us today and having this really important conversation. Thanks to all of you.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for having us.
Yes.
David Heitz-Stuman is the CEO of the Sacramento LGBT Community Center. Cindy Beaudoin is the CFO for the Placer LGBT Center. And John Alida is the executive director of the San Joaquin Pride Center. We've been talking about the celebrations and challenges of this year's Pride Month. We'll have links to each of the center's resources on our website. Still ahead, California's Gold Rush history comes alive in a new Western from author Josh Weil. We'll hear a reading from What Came West. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Andrew Garcia. We're back in just a moment.